What? Whoa. Now, wait a minute. We Holy Ghost filled believers here now. We all about the Spirit, right? You know, don't tell me that the spiritual's not first, right? It says, however, the spiritual's not first, but the natural, and then afterward, the spiritual. Does that shock any of you? Because it did me when I started operating in the way that I was. I'm like, God, why are you showing me this stuff? You know, and then we're going somewhere with it. It says, the first man was made of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So Adam was a foreshadowing, a foretelling of what was to come, right? And so when I got here to the region and area, first off, I picked up on some things in Harrisonburg, right? This is a neat place. It's neat and it's friendly. Okay, Morgan and I went to dinner last night, and we just people at our table talking to us. We went to the Japanese restaurant; they were talking to us, just friendly, you know. Because where I'm at, there's a lot of territorial spirits. Okay, this guy planted this church. Well, we don't want anything to do with him, and this guy's, you know. And so there's a lot of that goes on, and so you can pick up on there's a different atmosphere here in Harrisonburg. Okay, so if the natural's first, then comes the spiritual, then we need to look at what Harrisonburg is, how it was founding, and how it was founded, where it's at, so that we can say this is what God wants to do in the spirit, right? That would make sense. Now, there's so much to unpackage that I will not this today for that reason. But Harrisonburg in its spiritual state has a spiritual destiny. God has a destiny for this region and for this area, right? Now, here's what's very important. Don't miss this. Harrisonburg is the county seat for the county. We are the county. You are sitting in the county seat. In other words, this is where the place of government comes out of. And so if it's the place of the county seat of natural government, that must mean that that's where God wants to set up his ecclesia and release his government. You see, there's a difference between church and operating as the ecclesia of God. And for years, the church has been meeting together to have good meetings, Holy Ghost-filled meetings. We want to come in here and we want to get blessed. And we've walked out. Why? Because we just believe Jesus is coming at any time. There's no work to do. We just need to get to church and we need to get people to our church. Are we directed to draw people to the bride of Christ? Or are we directed to draw people to Christ? And we've tried to figure out how to grow our churches. You know, but so we want to do church in a way that we get people to come instead of not realizing that we have a function as the government of God here on earth. That's who we are and that's what we do. And so if Harrisonburg is the county seat, then that must mean there's something governmental that God wants to do here. Are we tracking? I haven't lost you yet, right? Hang with me. All right, that's very important. All right. Now, one thing that I read about this region and area is the ethnic diversity, okay? And even read about the Hispanic population here as well, okay? And so I know some of that may have to do with the college, but if that's the case, if we have a region and a location that, you know, Hispanics, whites, blacks, yellow, orange, whatever color, that we can all get along, if that's already happening in the natural, then what can we do in the spiritual? You see, Leonard Ravenhill said, as the church goes, so goes the world. If there is racial divide in our nation, it's because the church in America has racial divide. Oh, one amen. Huh? Don't make me be Kenneth Hagin here and y'all shout me down while I'm preaching. If there's an issue in this region and area, it's because the church has an issue. But if we do have, to, if we are seeing in the natural that we're able to come together as an ethnic group and unify, then that means something. Somebody says the first church that ever was the church of Jerusalem. And in a sense, that's true. But there was a problem with that church. It was all Jews. The first church to me that was founded was the church of Antioch. Well, the thing about Antioch is it didn't matter what background you were you Jew, were you Greek, right? Were you Samaritan? It didn't matter. You were welcome here. Even as so much, they were willing to welcome a man named Saul who become Paul into their midst. They were willing to say, hey, we'll look past what we see in the natural and we'll see somebody in the spirit. Now, I don't think anybody had a hard time with what Morgan did. Now, if the music was here and thumping, maybe so. But I get tired of this. Well, no rock and roll in the church, no rap in the church. Everything is a copy. All music you hear is a copy. It originated first from above. All the enemy can do is copy a sound. And sometimes God will put in your midst a rapper or a minister that will intentionally offend you. And if God has not offended you, hang on, he will. Ask me how I know. And we're even talking to the point of being wounded. You mean God will wound you? He wounded his son, and if I'm a son, he'll wound me too. But why did he wound Jesus? For you. Well, why would he wound me? For you. Yeah. He wounds his men and women of God so that they can help. You never trust a general without scars. Don't trust a general without a limp. They can't help you. They ain't been through it. Come on. There's a reason why leaders go through the stuff they do, so they can help others in the place that they are. It was a true church. It was so diverse, and that's what the Lord is looking at. I'm telling you now that denominationalism isn't going away. It ain't. But he's raising up men and women who are saying, hey, yeah, we may be, you know, Church of God. We may be holiness. We may be Baptist. We may be Methodist. But we see that this is what we've got to do for the common good. Right? And oh, God, when I first started preaching, it was all about, you know, the Methodist is going away. And, you know, it's not. It's not going anywhere. It's a friendly town, the friend of God. This is Harrisonburg is a place to host the presence of God. To host the presence of God. I don't know about you. I don't want a visitation. The first question the disciples asked Jesus is, where do you lay your head? Where do you sleep? Where do you stay? In other words, where are you the head at? Where do you lay your head? Because wherever you lay your head, that's where we want to be. And no longer is it going to be the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the head of the church. Jesus is going to become the head of the church again. I don't want a visitation. I want a habitation. Set up. We want you here. We want you here. I don't care. I don't have any other agenda. I just want you. And everything else will fall into place. Amen. So there's the natural. Zechariah 4:10 says this. For who has despised the day of small things? Somebody say small things. For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. It's done been said, but right here, right now, God has a strategy. God, did you hear me? God has a strategy. Pastor, you don't. Barbara, you don't. God has a strategy. Do you hear me? Right? In other words, God has a plan. And those that fail to plan to fail. Well, being charismatic and coming up through the Holy Ghost circles and Church of God and, you know, just trust the Holy Spirit. You know, if you mention plan, well, we need to, you know, no, brother, God ain't into planning. Well, when Adam and Eve failed, God immediately said, I got to figure out a way for my son to get to earth. Looked at Eve and you'll be in childbirth. That's what you've got to do now. You'll be in agony in childbirth. And automatically thought of a way for Jesus to get here on the earth. And that was thousands of years before Jesus came. Now, that's planning to me. That seems like a plan to me. Yeah, and it was a plan that he fulfilled, right? What is your strategy? What is the strategy of heaven? And this is the thing. We want to know what you know, right? We want to hear from you. We want to know because you have something, and it's our job to get that. But it starts out small. You have to figure out a plan. Now, I have a teaching, and it's on the apostle-prophet team, okay? And it's the synergy that is created by the joining together when God joins together an apostle and a prophet. You see, you had Paul and Barnabas, and then we know what happened. There was contention. They parted ways, and then he picks up with Silas. But see, what happened is Barnabas, it says he was an encourager. In other words, he was an apostolic evangelist. But Silas, it said he was a prophet. And so he partnered with Paul and they created a synergy and began to go out through Asia Minor and establish churches. Are y'all tracking with me? Amen? Now here's the thing. It wasn't that Paul and Barnabas wasn't supposed to be together. It was that the Lord says, I want to create a different synergy and I'm going to put these two together. We've tried to figure that out. Why did they part with that? You know, well, God was done with the apostle evangelist team. And now he wanted to partner Paul with a prophet. Are we good? Are we okay? Yeah. That's biblical. That's who they were. That's what went on. And so why does God do this? He does this so that he can accomplish nothing more. You and I are his agents on earth so that he can accomplish his will on earth. Well, God's just going to do it. No, he ain't. He never purposed it that way. He gave the earth over to Adam in so much Adam had the ability to give it away. Amen. It's yours. You do with it. You tend it. You take care of it. It's yours. He didn't have to look at God and say, is it okay if I mess up here and give this all away? It was his to give away. And he did. Right? He was deceived and it was given away. Right? So apart from man, God does nothing here on the earth. That's how he chose to do it. That's how he chose to do it. It is our jobs as his sons and daughters that are birthed here on the earth to birth Jesus in the earth. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we do what we do, so that we can release the king. We can release the ecclesia or the government of God here on earth. You could hold a 7-day prayer meeting in this sanctuary right now and not one soul would get saved in Harrisonburg. But as soon as one individual said, you know what, I'm prayed up, I'm going out the doors, I'm going to go to the streets, I'm going to find the worst place, I know you've got where the drugs are and all that, that's where I'm going, and I'm going to preach Jesus. And he's going to preach Jesus, and people are going to get saved. We've bought into the theology that, man, let's just wait, because by the signs of the times, he's coming. God's not looking for the signs of the times, because there have been patterns of history to where it's looked worse than it looks right now. He's not looking at his watch. He's looking at his crop. And when his crop matures, he's coming back. Amen. That's what God's doing. You are just in the infant stage here. Guys, you're just in the infant stage. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I heard the Lord say that. As I was walking and praying, I felt a prick on my ankle. I said, Lord, what in the world? It almost felt like a bee sting. He said, right now, we're ankle deep. Listen, I don't mean that in a bad way, because usually we preach at, you know, us Pentecostals preach at, like, you're just ankle deep, you know. You're a mile wide and an inch deep. I don't mean that. I mean, as far as what God's doing here, we're an ankle deep. And that means that we have to go to our knees, get to our waist, and then get over our heads, right? But our tendency as human beings, well, I ain't going to say y'all, but my tendency's always been, as soon as I hear the Lord speak, right? I just recently helped a brother in Florence, South Carolina. You know, he knew that God was wanting to put together a true fivefold in the ministry there, and he tried to make it happen. And when you try to make something happen, here they come. Here comes the prophets. Here comes the apostles. Here they come. But you're not ready for it. Right? Don't do anything in me. Don't take me anywhere that I'm not ready for. Because I don't want to die. I don't want to miss what you're trying to do. Take me through the process. Thank you. When I was 15, 16, I never got in a pool by the ladder. I always jumped in. Now that I'm 47, I watch my kids do it, and that water's ice cold. Oh, Dad just goes down the ladder, you know. With age, that water's cold. But with wisdom, I believe, we begin to move into the deep a different way instead of jumping head first. Amen. I want to move away from this. Pastor Carl, I believe I heard something as I was back there praying, and I don't know what this means, but as I was back there praying, he said, "You tell him he's a Caleb, a Caleb." You know the story of Caleb? I know you do, because you know more Bible than I do. And so I was like, well, if he's a Caleb, well, I do what most prophetic people do. I went to the prophet Google. I swear I'm not here to offend. I'm not. But here's what Caleb means, Pastor Carl. It means faithful, wholehearted, bold, and brave. I don't know you. I don't know you. I do in the Spirit. But I heard the Lord say that he's going to reward you for all your years of faithfulness. There were times you wanted to quit. There were times you wanted to give up. There was just, you know, I'm going to throw my hands up in the air. And why? Why this? Why that? But it's all about to make sense. And I don't, how old are you now?
66.
In the next 10 years, I don't know why I'm saying this, in the next 10 years, you will see more fruit out of your ministry than you have all the years that you have faithfully be serving God. And I don't say, that's easy to throw out there. That's easy to throw out there. But you are about to be on the threshold of seeing more fruit out of your ministry than you have up to this point. There's more that I would like to say, but I don't have liberty to say. Amen? Amen. So, I've been talking a little bit. We'll switch gears here, and I promise to try not to preach you out of your seat, but we will absolutely try to minister what the Lord is saying here. I want to kind of bounce off of what I've already been talking about a little bit. If you have your Bibles, if you want to put something, and I just happen to have the Passion Translation for this, I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:7. I believe I gave you a word corporately, but I'd like to help you out individually. Amen? And one of the things that the Lord has seemed to grace me with is I'll look around a lot of times, and I see people in the Spirit, and I kind of see them where their potential is, maybe not where they're at right now. So maybe this is you. I hope to speak to your heart. Amen? Please don't ever treat church as just I want to check the box off, because you might as well stay home. You know, this isn't a box to be checked off so I can feel good about the rest of the week. Man, there's something about corporate worship. I can get something here corporately that I can't get by myself at home. Amen? And I want to grow. I want to mature. Amen? And I've been through some tough seasons with that, and there's more to come. It says, we are like common clay jars. I'm a clay jar. Say that. I'm a clay jar. Amen. That carry this glorious treasure within, so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. Man, I like what Paul said there. And so, every one of us, we're made from what? We're made from the earth, right? We know that he took, you know, the dirt and the mud, and he made Adam, didn't he? Right? And then he didn't become living until he breathed his spirit into him, right? He put pneuma in him. All right, so every one of us is, we're made of clay. We're a clay jar. Some of us right now are on the wheel, right? I couldn't make a ball with clay. I've watched them do it. I couldn't make a ball. But now God can make some masterpieces, right? I'm looking at some of them. I'm looking at you. He can make some masterpieces. But here's the thing. One time I had a vision of God, and it was like I knew he had me on the wheel. And he molded this beautiful clay jar, and, you know, he put it in the oven, and he looked at it, and he just admired it, and he broke it. And he picked the pieces up, wet it down, and started to make it into a form that he could begin to mold and shape again. Because sometimes we think we've just arrived. And most of us in here, we're thinking of this point that if I ever get to, everything's going to be great. It don't work that way. The objective is what? It's to get intimate with him and let him carry you through the phases and the stages of life. Because that place that you're looking to is going to have its own difficulties when you get to it as well. but I don't really want to stay there. And most of us, because I born in 74, like the 80s is my thing. 80s music, 80s video games, everything about the 80s is me, okay? And I look back, and I'm like, oh, the 80s, I'd love to go back to the 80s. But here's the thing, and some of you look back on a time, I wish life was like this. But when you were living that period of time, you had difficulty. You've just seemed to have forgotten about it, right? And so our propensity is we're always looking towards the future, and we're never content where we're at. Now, that may not be your problem, but that's always been my problem. As a prophetic guy, I could always see the future, and I wanted to be in the future. Amen? But we have to start enjoying the now, the miracle of the moment, right? So all of us, we're made from the earth. We're clay jars, okay? Now, only this version says it this way. King James, when we hear what we call the Lord's Prayer, he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. No. In earth. Me, same way, brother, same way. Because every other version says on earth. But King James says your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I just said you were an earthen vessel. Didn't I? I just said you were an earthen vessel. And so he wants to do something in you. But why does he want to do something in you? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Y'all are asking all the right questions. Jesus in you is like a woman who is pregnant. Jesus in you. Now, the men have a hard time with this. Now, I'm going to talk about pregnancy a little bit, but I'm going to refer to, I have three kids, was present for all their births, but I'm going to refer to my 16 years as a respiratory therapist in which I had to respond in the hospital I worked in. I had to respond to all births. So I've seen a lot of babies come out cesarean, come out natural. I've seen babies come out healthy. I've seen babies come out unhealthy. I was the guy, if they knew there was going to be respiratory problems, they didn't hand it to the nurse. They handed it to me because we needed to get an airway established. So, but I don't know what it's like to give birth. So for you ladies that's going to walk out of here and say, who's he think he is talking about? I don't want to. You're right. And I'm going to offend some guys in here, but women are tougher than men. Because there ain't one dude in here that can birth a baby. Amen. Now, if I ain't saying that because my wife's here. She won't hear this message. But we've been together for 18, 19 years. We have three kids, and she's my world. I love her. She's my everything. But she knows she's tougher than I am. Amen? All right. Doesn't mean that we don't lead, men. So, if you can think of it, heaven. Because here's the thing. Heaven's a person. Amen? They can't stop singing about him in heaven. They can't stop looking at him in heaven. About 5 years ago, I was taken into an open vision and I saw two huge, enormous thrones. I'm like, what are you showing me? And the Lord spoke. He said, I'm showing you my throne and I'm showing you my Father's throne. I was like, well, they're the same size. He said, that's right. Because everything, he told me that if I did what he asked me to do, that everything that was in heaven was mine. All the authority, I feel the Holy Ghost on that. Come on. He is heaven's darling. Come on. They can't stop looking at Jesus. They can't stop thinking about Jesus. They can't stop saying holy to Jesus. Amen? And so it's our job to birth heaven in earth. All right. We there? So if we think about it, Mary was a type. She birthed Jesus. Just like we're supposed to. We're supposed to release Jesus here on the earth. I hope to give you a different perspective. We birthed heaven just like Mary did. I was going to say heaven and Mary at the same time. Now, here's the thing. When the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, she became impregnated with Jesus, right? When the Holy Spirit comes upon the Word, Jesus comes forth. Amen? Now, I got this in my home church, and I was just minding my own business. Amen? So when he comes upon us, Jesus comes forth. Galatians 4:4. It says, but when the fullness of the time had come. Somebody say fullness of time. Fullness of time. Amen. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Okay? Are you tracking with me? Now, when I've been in circles and you know, traveled different places, we all know about two forms of time, right? We know about chronos time, right? And we know about kairos time. And most people say that kairos is the now moment. Here it is, what I've been waiting on. This is kairos time. It is not. It is not. The Greek word for the fullness of time is called pleroo or pleroma. That's when everything comes forth. All right? Mary's pregnant with Jesus. Oh, this is a kairos moment. Well, there was a kairos moment, but there had to be a fullness of time for him to actually come forth and be present here on the earth. Right? Because the fullness of time, once Jesus come, there could be a fulfilling of what all the prophets and the law had to say about him coming. Are we tracking? Yeah. There's a lot of prophecy. There's prophecy released today. There's prophecy released over your life. There's the word released over your life. But you have to go through the process for the fullness of it or it to come to fruition. Now, it's been pleasant up to this point. Okay? It ain't going to be too unpleasant because women's going to understand, but the men ain't going to be too happy with what I'm about to talk about. A woman who is pregnant goes through these three phases. Chronos, kairos, and pleroo. Okay? Now, this is where I get in trouble with the ladies at. As a general rule, ladies, when you got pregnant, you found out that you were pregnant, it was pretty much uneventful. Now, don't throw a rock. All right? What do you mean? Morning sickness? You know, this, that, not to mention my belly come out to here. Right? Come on. What not normal about it, was it, ladies? But if you compare it to labor and delivery, it was pretty normal, pretty uneventful. Right? It was pretty uneventful. Now I'll get into that. So the chronos time is there's a seed that's been implanted in the woman, and now that seed is starting to become an actual human being, right? And so you just go through the process of that baby starts to get bigger and bigger and bigger, right? It starts to grow. Now, most of us, we try or we wish that in our walk with God that we could stay in chronos time, right? There ain't much going on. I'm getting bigger. I'm growing, right? Come on. We like to say it. Man, you growing in Christ? Yeah, I'm growing. Growing in the Word and getting understanding of the Word. I'm growing as a Christian. I can really tell that I'm growing. But here's the thing. What's the purpose of the growth? What's the purpose of the growth? It's to birth something. Everybody in here, I don't care if you're sitting in a seat, you don't feel called to, you know, pulpit ministry, you don't feel called to do one thing, to get up and grab a mic or play an instrument or sing a song. Everybody in here, in this room, is called to birth something in this earth from heaven. And here's the thing, and this is why maybe some of you wouldn't like me so much, but everybody in here is called to do the work of an evangelist. Everybody in here is called to share their faith with someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Everybody in here. That's not the pastor's job, or that's not the, we got an evangelist in the house. That's what he does. That's your job. Now, I know the pastors are going to say, get them, brother. But that's your job. And pastors, it's not necessarily just our job to feed the sheep, tend to the sheep, but we do the work of an evangelist as well. We're all called to share our faith. We're all called to birth something. Recently, RFI, Revival Fellowship International, that's up in Fairmont, West Virginia, lost a dear woman by the name of Margaret Viss. And Margaret was trained in South, she's from South Africa, but she was trained by Reinhard Bonnke to intercede. She was trained in intercession. But she wasn't your normal intercessor. Like, as soon as you got around this woman, she had a way of speaking to you. She didn't preach much, but she was definitely an apostle of intercession. She didn't preach much, but she had a way of releasing who she was. See, she was pregnant with purpose. She was pregnant with Jesus. And she had a way of releasing that to you. And we in the body of Christ, we have a wrong way of operating that we want to celebrate the man or the woman of God behind the pulpit or with the microphone. But the ones who do the lifting in the church are your intercessors. If Finney was standing here, he'd tell you. When Nash died, so did Finney's crusade ministry die. Died with him. He tried to hold meetings. It just never was the same. Because in Nash, he had someone that would go weeks before they were going to have a meeting. And he didn't have to be put up in the Hilton. And by the way, I'm thankful for the Hampton me and Morgan stayed in last night. So, but he would say, find me, do you have a shed? Do you have a basement? Do you have an attic? And they would find usually a woman that would be willing to host him. And there's many accounts that whoever would host him would go to check on him to see if he was still alive, because they would hear moaning and groaning. And they would hear screams and wails. And, you know, one woman even reported that she went to check on him because he was moaning so much and blood was coming out of his nose and out of his mouth, that he was in travail so much for the souls in that region and area. You see, because there's something I can't get away from. A few years back, I was praying in my room, and all of a sudden I began to hear these awful wailing and moanings and cries, and I was taken into a vision, and I could see this abyss, and it had to be the lake of fire. As far as I could see, it was fire, and I looked over the edge, and I saw people trying to climb out of it, screaming. And I said, Lord, what's this? He said, these are the souls that I've called you to preach the gospel to. Son, you've got to do it. Because I wanted to give up. I wanted to quit because it was too hard. See, I stand before you, a man that's died many deaths. But the more deaths I die, the more alive in him I come. Where's the heart for the gospel? Where's the heart for the broken people? I have people that hate my guts, brother. I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want them to go to hell. There's nothing in me. There are people, some of the greatest evangelists in this city woke up with a needle in their arm, or they woke up with vomit hanging out of their mouth, or maybe they're face down in a ditch. I hope, God forbid, they were last night, because they're probably froze dead. Some of the greatest movers and shakers that we're about to see in this harvest are out there lost, and they need the gospel preached to them. They need the gospel preached to them. And I'm going to talk about some difficulties in life, but you have to endure those difficulties. Because I say this, God doesn't make a ministry, he makes a man. He makes a woman. He doesn't make a ministry. And we can watch our TVs and we can see individuals with large crowds and it looks like they've made it, but there's one thing you don't know. You don't know the persecution that comes their way. You don't know the names that they're called. You don't know all the false accusation that's come their way. I know. It's hard. And so we walk in Chronos, because King Solomon was clear in the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, everything, there's a season. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to go through seasons of life. I don't care if you're young, if you're old, if you're middle-aged like I am, you're going to go through seasons of life. And those seasons have a way of just keep going on and on and on, right? We think we die and we now we're in a summer season or we've birthed something. Guess what? Eventually you'll go through that process again. And I don't want you ignorant to that. Because we've preached a false gospel. We've preached a false gospel that tell people that he's come to save you from your troubles. Well, he'll fix your marriage and he'll fix your finances and oh, he'll get you out of drug addiction. He didn't come to save you from your troubles. He came to save you from your sin. Because life's full of troubles. But he's with you all the way. Well, I'm just waiting. Listen, the Holy Spirit's the helper, not the doer. Did you hear me? He's waiting for you to move. Genesis 1, we're introduced to the Holy Spirit. What's he doing? Hovering over the deep. Gyrating. If you start to look at the Hebrew. And all he was waiting for was for God to speak. Let there be light. He's waiting for you and I to move. And so mama's carrying that baby. But Kairos comes with labor and delivery. I know there's mamas in here. And I know there's daddies in here that you're probably being with. Their wives. Or maybe you've seen a delivery. But for 16 years, I was a respiratory therapist. And I went to a hospital that I had to go to. It was a baby hospital. And it's everywhere. There was going to be a difficult pregnancy. They sent them there. And so they said, you're here because now you're going to help babies. You're going to see pregnant women give birth. You're going to see babies be born. Here I am. I graduated high school at 17. I'm 19 years old. They take me in this big room, and I look to my right. And guess what I saw? Ladies. I saw a female up in stirrups. And if you can find the reddest red in here, I turned those shades of red. Whoa, I didn't want to see that. Right? And I'll never forget, in that particular pregnancy, she starts to give birth. She's starting to push that baby. And, you know, they train you all they can. But nothing trains you for that kind of ordeal. And I just remember her looking at her husband and she said, Let's just stop today and we'll try this again tomorrow. Come on, ladies. Well, let's just stop today and we'll try again tomorrow. Well, guess what? It don't work that way. And so when we have purpose and destiny on the inside of us, when we're called to birth Jesus here on the earth, you know, it seems like we're minding our own business and we're growing in Christ. But when you begin to be impregnated with something, now you start to walk in Kairos time. Kairos is the labor and the delivery. And a lot of times in Kairos, there can be a lot of confusion. Come on. When pains start to come upon you, you know, I'm not sure God said that or did he say this? You know, I'm not sure he wanted me to do that, or did he want me to do this? Come on. Oh, man, it's painful, you know? And, you know, in my years of ministry, there would be times when I first got into ministry, you know, I was blaming my pain on the devil. Because we don't associate pain with God, right? The writer of Hebrews was clear that with an unveiled face, we view the glory of the Lord. And most of us as charismatics, we say, well, the glory is, man, we were speaking in tongues and there was people slain in the spirit and, man, somebody got healed. And, oh, you could see the Shekinah glory. But I'm telling you, the glory of the Lord will cause you more pain than anything on this earth. Why? Because it says we are changed. We are changed. See, the veil has to be removed. And in this room, and including me as well, if we view God with veils on our face, we turn God into who we want him to be. But when the veil's lifted and we come face to face with our bridegroom, then we become formed into that image. And no man can see God and live. So what happens is now you know why Paul said, I'm crucified in Christ. And most Christians, they flippantly say that, oh, I'm just crucified in Christ. No, you look at porn. You're still using drugs? You're not crucified in Christ. Because what happens is when you get on a cross, you have to die. And in my 16 years of holding people in my arms, nobody ever said dying was easy. Amen. Because it's not. A.W. Tozer said, if you see a man with a cross on his back, you know one thing about that man. You'll never see him again. He ain't coming back. And a lot of times we want our will and what we want to do and a little bit of God mixed in with it. But I've come to the point, I don't want Sean Boone, any of this stuff. What do you want and what is the requirement for me to be able to birth what you want here on the earth? Death. You got to get out of the way. Because Paul said, I'm crucified in Christ, but what? I live. Wait a second. I'm living. I'm still alive. Wait, I'm more alive now than I've ever been. And me and my infinite wisdom, I thought I knew best. This is how it's going to be and this is how it's going to come forth. I merged that ministry together and I thought, yeah, man, this will allow me to travel the world and do all this and do that. And you know what God asked me to do as soon as we did it? He said, I want you to seat under Apostle Doyle. Wait a second, I'm equal to him. You know, my church was bigger than his. The list goes on and on and on. He said, yeah, but I'm requiring something out of you. Won't you ask Morgan to do it? Don't need Morgan to do it. I need you to do it. Everything that I had built, you hear me? You hear the I? Everything that I had built with my own hands, the ministries, the properties, the popularity, the preaching and the prophesying, everything that I had knew in a season was gone. It was all gone. And I started looking at about 15 to 20 young adults, 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds. I'm the man of the hour, God. I'm the prophet for the now. No, you ain't. I can promise you, you are never a good gauge of where you are. That's why we submit to leadership. You'll never be able to honestly figure out where you are. You're always going to be in favor for you. You're always going to be in favor for you. Right? And so when I go in this season and I've been a full-time minister for 10 years and received my salary, and the next thing you know what I'm doing? I'm working at a car dealership selling cars. Never sold nothing in my life, Pastor. No full-time ministry, no salary, selling cars. Come on. But God, you showed me. I saw it. I saw the stage. I saw the sea of faces. I know you want me to preach to the world. I saw it. Yeah, I know you did. Well, I didn't tell you how I was going to get you there, did I? Some of you right now are in a Kairos moment, and if you look at it like a superhero has a tool belt, he's adding tools to your belt. God, I thought you loved me. I thought I was your beloved. I mean, do you not even like me? Do you not even see me worthy of even to preach the gospel? It's like you've sidelined me. You've benched me. None of the stuff that I was doing before, am I doing now? Right? And to say that I was in the most painful season in my life is an understatement. And so I did, like most mature Christians, I grabbed my toys and I went home. I just won't preach. If I ain't good enough, I just won't preach. I won't do anything. Yeah, you can have it. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. I know for a fact I am. You can have it. You can have the call. You can have ministry. I don't like ministers. I don't like ministry. I don't want nothing to do with anything. You know, I can't wait for summer, July to hit. I'm going to get on my boat, and I'm going to go on the lake, and I'm going to, you know, get a suntan, and I'm going to ski, and I'm going to surf. That's what I'm going to do. Guess what? That's what I did. Then guess what? I became the most miserable human being walking the earth. The most miserable human being. Here's the thing. God will let you do whatever you want to do, baby. He ain't going to, oh, he'll stop that. He'll let you do whatever you want to do. There is people, ministries doing good things instead of God things all over this world. Amen. So God, why am I so miserable? And I realized why I was so miserable. I was missing him. Because through all that and my woundedness, I hid my heart from God. I'm not going to allow your presence around me. I'm not going to seek you. I'm just going to hide. You see, when Adam and Eve, when they eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they hid. I messed up. I'm hiding. So I played my charades. I had my tantrum. I did my thing. And finally I come back to him and said, I'm not worried about ministry, God. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. But please, I just have to be in your presence. I just have to be in your presence. That's all I need. I ain't worried about the call. I just need to be in your presence, God. I just want you. And guess what? He didn't roll me around and, well, you got to pay a little price here. You know, you're going to have to. Just like the prodigal son. Here's your ring. Here's your rose, son. Welcome home. And lo and behold, I quit having my pity party. I come and say, God, just whatever you want. Just me and you. Here come new vision. Here come the thing that he was preparing me for all along. I wished I was the guy that was up here that told you it was just pie in the sky by and by, and me and God got tight, and he just took me to glory. But to be honest with you, I don't ever really read my Bible and find that. You know, we should desire to be like Christ, but only he did it perfect. You can't. I can't. There's hiccups along the way. Do you know before I was even born, God had factored in all of that? He done factored in my stupidity, you know, my pride, my arrogance, my tendencies. He done factored all that in. But here's the thing, when you start to know God on that level and to see how he will just work with you, and he don't get upset on his throne. I'm just molding and shaping him. I know what's going to happen. I know what he's going to do. But be patient with him. It's given me a patience and a love and a grace for people that I've never had. So you can have your kairos. But I'll take the peru because that's when that baby comes out. And all that screaming and pain. And I'll never forget my wife holding our firstborn. And I said, was she worth all the trouble? She said, what trouble? Look what I got. What trouble? Jesus was clear. Offenses would come. Difficulties would come. And even Paul said, you know what? We're pressed on every side. For your sake. It's your sake we endure what we endure. For your sake. And you know, we as leaders, we know we're telling people, you know, come be a minister, this and that, and this is what you'll get. Because here was my belief. My belief is it was my claim to fame and a way to get my pockets full of money. Because you know, you see Joel, you see Creflo, you see, oh my gosh, well, I'm gonna get rich. I'm rich. You're rich. And so God, you know, here's what I have found. God has ways of drawing you, and then he doesn't tell you the whole story. He hooks you. And he don't tell you the whole story. But there's a process. There's a process. You know? Jesus was clear. Hey, who follows me, deny himself. Pick up his cross. Follow me. Amen? Moses carried God's glory. It was a burning bush experience that caused him to be a deliverer. Right? I believe there's a Moses anointing coming back to the church where it's a deliverer again. You know? And I've been studying a lot of late. And one of the things that God's been dealing with me has been the fear of the Lord. You know, a true fear of the Lord. Not, I'm scared of God, but I'm talking about a reverential awe and fear of the Lord. And I believe that unity and miracles and all the things that we believe that we're going to see in the church again will all be birthed from a fear of the Lord being returned back to the house of God. Amen. And I'll just leave that at that. If you would, stand to your feet. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. I feel like some people got some revelation this morning, this evening. That makes sense. I hope so. I hope you can learn from this knucklehead. I hope you can learn from my mistakes. Because it'd be better that you not suffer the way I have. Father, in this room, there are men and women, boys and girls, that are just bursting with purpose and destiny. There are men and women that, and I hear this, hope deferred makes the heart sick, that you had a vision, God spoke to you, but it didn't come the way you thought, and so you just became broken over it and just become heart sick. There's some that have allowed bitterness to come in because of how things have went. And the thing you have to understand is bitterness defiles many. Many. Ask me how I know. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to heal hearts, broken hearts, to make sense, begin to make sense of seasons and things that these people have been through, have endured. But Father, I'm asking this. I'm telling you that you renew vision within your people, God. That you renew destiny and purpose and vision in this room, in this sanctuary, right now, God. That some realize, I'm in a Kairos moment, that's why it's been so tough. And some realize maybe why they are fighting the way that they are, why they're going through the things that they're going through, God. So what we're asking for, because God, you're not the author of confusion, is that the confusion be cleared up. Make sense of the season. I hear that. God, make sense of the season. Bring clarity to the confusion. Father, strengthen your bride. For the harvest is coming. Strengthen your bride. Strengthen us, God. Now, God, we ask for your forgiveness of places we've been ignorant, where we have failed you. And God, we offer Repentance, which means it's not just to turn around. It's not just to walk away from where we were at, but it's to turn to Jesus. We come to you, Jesus. You have all the answers. You have all the answers. It's found in you, Lord. And everyone in this room, just agree with this simple prayer here. God, you do in Harrisonburg. Through these people, through this union, what you want to do in this city and in this region. God, you raise up evangelists, a street evangelist. You raise up intercessors. Father, let the intercessors, I feel like some intercessors have gone weary. I say, release new wind, new strength, new life into the intercessors. Let them know the importance of the role that they play. God, have your way. Have your way in us. God, that these men and women birth heaven in earth. That they birth Jesus in earth. Now, God, we bless your name. We thank you for this time together, God. We thank you that there's only one God, it's you, Lord. May you receive all the glory, that they know that these earthen vessels are operating on your behalf, God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, we're going to be at Barb's tonight, is that right, Barb? We'd love to see you at 6:30. My wife has told me that I'm the absolute worst book salesman on earth. But last year I finished a book called The Call of the Harlot, The Cry of the Bride. I have some with me. A copy like this is $15, and it goes towards missions and different things like that. But maybe I should have sold this before I preached. But anyway, I have some of these copies if you like the book. It was a labor of love. I'm not going to close this out, Barb or ask whoever wants to. But anyway, black book, you can just see me at any time. I love you. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. And I bless you in Jesus' name.